Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are you this week?
Doing great. Things are moving at a very fast pace. We've got that congressional race between the Republican and Democrat. The nation is watching, so that's playing out right now. Senator Mark Moores, I think, contrasts very well with the radical progressive that the Democrats put up. And that election is going to be on June the 1st, so coming up very quickly. But on a worldwide note, it looks like that Facebook allowed a breach of their data, and the personal records of 530 million people were compromised, and yet they're not going to notify anybody that your material was lost. You know, in that debate on should the courts break up these monopolies, I think that it was productive when the monopolies on telephones was broken up, the monopolies on oil and gas were broken up. I think it's going to be productive when we break these monopolies up. Then on another note, we had said all along that inflation is going to be striking with the amount of money that we're printing here in this country, and it's enough to affect the worldwide situation. The price of food is beginning to skyrocket just like we said it would, and so that's playing out. And that's unfortunate because the people at the bottom end of the economic ladder always suffer the most under inflation. And so, again, huge news hitting there. You know, on a tragic note, 70 years ago, the U.S. government was allowing DDT to be dumped off 3 or 4 miles off the coast of California, so just right off from Los Angeles. And it looks like 500,000 barrels of DDT were dumped there, have been decaying, and now then leaking that DDT into the oceans there off California. And so that environmental nightmare occurring right in the area where some of the harshest regulations are in place, and they just look the other way. So regulations are very rarely the answer. Just people with good values are the answer. But, you know, as we talk about good values, today I really wanted to delve deeply into the election questions that still persist. And keep in mind, we want you to stay tuned for the rest of the show. I've got a Wall Street Journal interview that we're going to play part of in the third segment. Ginger Nelson, the mayor of Amarillo, where the Operation Freedom is moving across to, she's on in the second segment. But before we go there, the election integrity question raised its head in New Hampshire, of all places. The Senate voted 24 to nothing there in New Hampshire to join the House in sending a bill to the governor that says that we want a forensic audit of the Windham election results. In that Windham area, there were 10,000 votes, and the fraud looks like it was at least 1,300 votes, and so that's 13%. When you get a 13% shift, that is 26 points because you're shifting from one candidate to the other. So thank goodness that somebody's going to be taking a closer look at the machines and how that vote total ended up in such irregular fashion. In West Virginia, they are passing a law which is trying to clean up the election processes. And they're being crucified by the extreme left for voter suppression. Anytime that the left wants to claim something, they first of all trot out the charge of racism, voter suppression, or whatever. So I think it's productive for us to take a deeper look at that bill that they're discussing in West Virginia to clean up their processes. So number one, West Virginia years ago allowed immediate voter registration when you go to the DMV to get your driver's license. So automatic registration has been the case for years in West Virginia. So what this bill does say, if a person voluntarily elects not to be registered, that they have that right. They have the freedom not to be registered. If they don't object, then they're still going to be registered. And that move to offer the people choice is declared as being racist. You can't get any more extreme than that point of view. But then there was another point where the courts are declared in this bill that if you're not allowed to serve on a jury because you don't have citizenship, or if you've moved out of the state and you can't serve on a jury, this bill says that the courts should tell the Secretary of State and the Secretary of State should clean up the voter rolls. And again, that's being declared as racist. Nothing could be further from the truth. We all want fair elections. We all want elections where the will of the people is listened to. And yet the extreme left wants nothing to do with fair elections. They're willing to describe that anything that tries to occur to clean up elections is simply voter suppression. So, Derek, I just tell you that we're in a fight for fair elections. If the elections are not fair, then what difference is there between the U.S. and Russia?
Why bother voting? Yeah, why bother voting?
Why bother voting? That's what they're trying to get. They're trying to get to the point where conservatives say there's no use voting.
You can't win.
That cost us at least one of the two seats in Georgia because there were Republicans in a very heavy Republican area. About 1% didn't go vote. It subtracted over 45,000 votes from Perdue. He would have won with those Republican votes. But 1% of the Republicans said, nah, there's no use. And that's where the left is trying to go, to demoralize us on the right. It's one reason I stay in the fight to get fair elections. It's one reason I stay in the fight to have the conservative viewpoint heard, because if we just quit, then the other side doesn't even have to work at their corruption. They just can do what they want. So we're going to stay in the fight, but election integrity is one of the key issues that the Republican Party nationwide is pushing. It's one of the key issues that we're pushing here in New Mexico and the Republican Party of New Mexico.
The interesting thing about this, talking about Georgia, so they moved that baseball game to Denver. You know what Colorado has? Voter ID. How hypocritical are they?
Voter ID, and then moving the game there because of the voter ID plan in Georgia.
And what do you have to do when you go to the ball game? What do you do when you go to the ball game? You have to show ID to go to the ball game, to get in the stadium.
You have to show an ID to get into the ball game, and so Major League Baseball is being so hypocritical. I know they've lost one fan. I suspect they've lost many fans.
I think you're right.
So, Derek, we've talked about inflation. We've talked about the risks of us printing so much money. One of the risks is that we devalue our currency so much that we create so much inflation that the dollar loses value. People lose trust in it. And currencies only operate on trust. That's all it is. A currency simply says that I believe that when you give me that money, I can trade that money for something else of value that I want. That's all money is. So these cryptocurrencies, the digital currencies, are being set up, and that's what the Bitcoin is. It is just created out of thin air. But now then, China is developing its own state-owned cryptocurrency, its own state-owned digital currency. When they're able to do that, then the state in China will have even more power to suppress people, to stop economic activity, to create hopelessness of no ability to work around the system. You know, the freedom for all of the accusations against this country, that our freedom, that our choices, that our ability to choose this career or that career, for our ability to negotiate more money for the hours that we work, those are all things that are part of the American experience that did not exist before this country existed. And now then, with China trying to establish this digital currency, they're trying to make that digital currency the currency of the world. Right now, the United States dollar is the currency of the world. We're the world's reserve currency. And when China replaces us, our dollar, with a digital dollar, then understand that our freedoms will take a massive hit that we can't even attempt to express right now. So great warning signs all around the globe about the problems with us just printing money out of thin air, the stimulus bills. We don't have the kind of money in the bank to pay for all of these things that they're sending the money for. So they're just printing that money, creating great world economic instability as they do it.
That is a scary thought, to think that a communist government would control the world currency. Steve Pierce and I will be back in just a moment with our special guest on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
We are back on Inside New Mexico as Steve Pierce brings in our guest this week.
Well, Derek, as we mentioned in the first part of the program, we have a very special guest today. The mayor of Amarillo, Ginger Nelson, has become a fast friend of mine in a very short period of time. When we elected to take our state Republican gathering to Amarillo, she was one of the first people we called and was immediately on board with the concept. Mayor, thanks for being on with us today. And tell our listeners a little bit about you, where you grew up, what put you into politics, what did you do before becoming mayor. So just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Steve, for having me. We are looking forward to having you guys in Amarillo. It'll be here before you know it. But just a little background on me. I grew up in a small town here in the Texas Panhandle, Spearman, Texas. Married my high school sweetheart, and we went to Texas Tech University, came back to Amarillo, which is really home for us. And we've been here 25 years. We're both attorneys, practice together. We're entrepreneurial, so we've owned several businesses, and Amarillo and its people have been so good to us. We got into politics just because we wanted to serve, and we know it takes people who have good business sense, conservative values, and a strong sense of fiscal responsibility to keep our tax dollars spent the way they should be. So that's sort of, in a very tight nutshell, how we ended up, my husband and I, serving.
When I first renewed my acquaintance in Amarillo, I used to fly for a living and was in and out of Amarillo a lot. And it was a sleepy little cow town. And just about 3 years ago, I made a trip up there for the first time for business reasons. And Amarillo had literally exploded. It is one of the fastest growing, I think, and most prosperous areas of Texas. And it's pretty well been hidden from sight. Talk a little bit about that growth that I've seen from outside.
Sure. I think Amarillo has been a tourist town for a long time, with a lot of people just stopping through for one night and leaving first thing the next morning. So they didn't have a full view of everything that was going on here. We've worked very hard to diversify our economy. Oil and gas and agriculture are still very strong pieces of it, but we have other things that we're increasing our economic development through.
Folks, we were talking with Ginger Nelson. She's the mayor of Amarillo. Amarillo is the destination for our big Lincoln Day, the Republican Party Lincoln Day. And I can tell you that New Mexico desperately needs to learn some of the lessons that are being taught there in Amarillo. So that's going to be one of the messages that we're looking for as we visit there. Mayor, talk a little bit about our Operation Freedom.
Well, we always appreciate when our neighbors from New Mexico visit, whether that's close by our friends in Clovis, New Mexico, or further west into the state. We appreciate when we have visitors from New Mexico come and spend time and their dollars in Amarillo. And so what I'm hearing across the town comes on two fronts. One, economically, how excited we are to have this group in our city. Our hoteliers and our restaurant owners and our retailers are all excited about the economic stimulus that this program will bring to the city of Amarillo. But then we're also excited locally on a political level, because we support the conservative values, the capitalism, the things that the Republican Party represent match so well in Amarillo, which is the heart of one of the most conservative congressional districts in the nation. So you guys are going to hit on two fronts for us, and we're excited about having Operation Freedom, as well as getting to know you guys better and building relationships with our friends in New Mexico.
One of the things that I'm hearing from people in Amarillo and that part of Texas is that we're bringing two of the most noteworthy speakers in the Republican Party to Amarillo. Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, a friend of mine. We served in Congress together. We both ran for governor at the same time. She won and literally set the standard for every governor when she refused to close any of the businesses, refused to shut down the schools. She said, "We're going to tell the people who are most at risk that you better be careful. Those less at risk, go live your lives, but be aware of the danger." And kids being not much at risk at all, never shut down the schools. Other governors eventually opened their state up, but she was the only one to never close it down, never have a mask policy, and their infection rates are just about the same as New Mexico, where we've been locked down cold for over a year. And so that excitement that Governor Noem is coming in, she speak on Friday, May the 14th, and then Jim Jordan will be speaking the next night. He was one of the founders of the Freedom Caucus. I was on the Freedom Caucus with him, knew he and Mark Meadows and the other founders very well. And so two of the most noteworthy speakers for the Republican side of the aisle coming into Amarillo, coming for us in New Mexico, but also we're going to be able to give them a chance to speak to local residents. Talk about what you're hearing just on the streets from those two speakers going to visit in Amarillo in successive days.
Of course, we support their positions. So it's any time you have someone coming who's had such a national prominence in a large microphone to speak out the positions that you agree with, that makes you excited, you know. And so our local folks, where our schools have been open the whole time and our businesses have been open, sometimes at reduced capacity, but always open, we're very excited to host and to have a chance to hear these two dynamic conservative voices actually bring their message to the New Mexico Republican Party, but also to our local conservatives here in Amarillo. I think we're excited about it. I think Amarillo has seen a change in themselves as we've had some national headlines, some good, especially for our vaccine rollout. We've been recognized nationally and had many cities across the state of Texas come and tour our clinic, but also just the struggles that we had early on in the pandemic with our meatpacking plant. Amarillo is finding itself positioned more prominently to be part of the national dialogue on issues, whether it's agriculture, oil and gas, economic issues, but now even politically, we represent the conservative heartland of our nation. And these two speakers will reflect that, and we want to give them a huge Amarillo welcome as they come, and we'll enjoy getting to know them and spending time listening to the things that they have to say. We're very excited about it.
When you get national leaders who come into a community, they always remember it because it becomes personal at that point. So maybe there are 1,000 towns that are the same size as Amarillo, but the chance of getting Governor Noem or Jim Jordan into those communities is very negligible. And so I think this is a wonderful opportunity for your community. I'm excited. We've got some of your community leaders that are going to host events for each one of those speakers. For the Texas folks, ours is going to be at night, but we're bringing them in half a day early because I wanted local people to get a chance to see these nationally known figures. It's very rare in towns across the country to get this access and to get this visibility. And so I'm excited for you. I'm excited for us. And we are bringing a lot of economic development to the region. When it came time to look at our budget for that, we all looked at each other. The board said, look, we've been shut down for a year. People just need to get out and feel like they're getting special treatment. So we're taking the top of the line steak the first night, no rubber chicken on either night. The next night, a fascinating meal. But we decided to spend at the top of the budget, not the bottom of the budget. And people are excited to be a part of it. So we are looking forward. Mayor Ginger Nelson from Amarillo, we're looking forward to visiting with you personally in your community. And we're excited that you can join us in hosting two of the most visible speakers through the country today. So thanks again. Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners today?
I just want to thank you for your leadership, Chairman. Thank you for what you do for the party, and thank you for what you do to spread conservative values, not just in New Mexico and now in Amarillo, but across the nation. It's much appreciated, and we support you here.
Thank you very much. And again, folks, we've been visiting with Ginger Nelson, Mayor of Amarillo. That's the site of our Operation Freedom, May 14, 15, and 16th. It's going to be a fascinating weekend. Come and join us and meet the nice people from Amarillo.
Steve Pierce and I will be back with more on Inside New Mexico in just a moment.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce. And Steve, as our listeners heard, we're just talking to the mayor of Amarillo. How come Texas, especially West Texas there, Amarillo, seems to be so much more economically sound than just across the line in New Mexico?
Well, the beginning point is, of course, the tax rate. They have a much lower tax rate, the corporate and the personal taxes. If you're going to do business in New Mexico, you got to pay your taxes first, and then anything else you have left, then you can reinvest in the business or pay yourself. And so that's the beginning point, but also the regulatory environment. New Mexico is just hostile to do business in. I have a lot of people who wanted to open businesses here in New Mexico. They ended up saying it's just too difficult. One of the guys was going to start a rib joint, just a restaurant down in the Clovis area. He was actually going to put it out in a very rural area that needs jobs desperately out west of Clovis. And he finally quit after 6 or 8 months, a year, trying to get his restaurant in. He moved across from Clovis into Texas, and just, again, a very low-density population area. He has now been named the best rib restaurant in all of Texas, and we gave him away from here. You remember Microsoft was, at one point, Bill Gates was in Albuquerque, and he could find nobody to support, found the environment too hostile here for businesses, went to Washington State. And now then his company alone has a greater economic gross domestic product than all of New Mexico combined. And so that's what we gave away. In Clayton, New Mexico, which again is very close to the state line, you see businesses clustered across the Texas state line on their side. And so there was a travel center that set in. I don't know if it was Love, but it was one of the big fancy ones, a lot of stations, and it stayed packed, had four or five cars waiting all the time. So another entrepreneur said, look, if they're that busy, I'd like to open up a second fueling station right across from it. And the regulations were so closed and so tight that he finally said, I'm just going to give up. Seeing all the traffic that was there parked at the station, then another guy came over from Texas and said, you know, I'd like to start a restaurant. And so he started building it right there in Main Street, Clayton. The town desperately needed more restaurants and they needed more entrepreneurs. And he got his building built, but then he ended up going back to Texas and never opened the restaurant because New Mexico is just too hostile to do business in. And that's what causes the difference between Texas and New Mexico.
Okay, but let's say at my house, my front yard, my lawn is got weeds, it's dying, and my neighbor has this wonderful, beautiful green grass. I would go ask my neighbor, how did you do that? Why aren't we in New Mexico looking at Texas and saying, we want to be thriving like they are? Do we not want to be thriving like they are? I mean, that's what it seems like. Why aren't our legislators, our governors saying, hey, let's take some of their good ideas and do here in New Mexico?
New Mexico years ago decided that it was going to be a service state. That is, that we would provide the services, the government would provide the services for the people. That kind of mentality does not organize itself well to create jobs, to create economic expansion. And so it's a mindset in the Democrat Party. That's the reason that I'm Republican, because I'm saying, wait, we need jobs. We need entrepreneurship. We want people to be taking chances and investing because that's where jobs are created. Instead, the prevailing attitude in Santa Fe is that we're going to give everybody a check that needs one, and we really don't need those jobs. We're going to find ourselves so far behind the economic pendulum that we'll never catch up. And so the point is greatly made that we're going to an area that is one of the fastest growing economic areas in all of Texas and in all of the country because local individuals are allowed the freedom to invest. That's how you create a strong and productive economy.
Our chairman of the Republican Party is always happy to talk to reporters and anyone that is interested in hearing about Republican values. Here is a clip from an interview he did with a reporter from the Wall Street Journal.
So I'm basically doing a story that looks at Congresswoman Harrell and a Democratic congressman in Texas. Both represent border districts with oil and gas, and we're just basically comparing how they talk about the issues. And you know the district very well. So I was hoping you could start by just telling me a little bit about the district and what's important to voters there.
Well, the 2nd District in New Mexico is 52% Hispanic, is 60% minority overall, the 2nd poorest district in the country, and then we're on the border, which makes it pretty unique also.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I found that the Hispanic population wants a secure border. Many of the families and their family members have come here legally, and they're not really on board with people being able to jump to the front of the line and not go through the process, and may pay tens of thousands of dollars through legal fees. And so they want the border to be secure. They want legal immigration to be easier, and they want people to be treated well, even if they come here illegally, but they got to follow the law. And then they'd like to see reforms to where it doesn't take 20 years in congressional help to come here. You apply to come here and you get an answer yes or no within 6 months or a year. But when you don't get an answer, when the system can't process and can't give an answer, then people say, I could live my life in 20 years and be back here for retirement. And so a lot do that. So that message needs to be tonally very, very restrained. You can't be talking bad about people who are trying to feed their families. But you also want to be firm enough that we recognize there is a process, and the process should be followed by all. Otherwise, people who would come here illegally get advantage over the people who are trying to follow the law. And that's something I heard very frequently. So it's a pretty delicate balance between the law and treating people with respect who've come here.
How does that message differ from Republicans nationwide? Because it doesn't seem like quite as delicate of a balance for Republicans and other districts that maybe don't have the same demographics.
Well, if you start back with Trump and his initial messaging, that was when they came to the Congress, and I forget which one of his campaign managers, but it was still like 14 or 15 people, and they were up seeing if they could get support. And I said, hey, you've got to really work on the message to Hispanics. So that was 2015 or 16, I don't remember exactly. But then fast forward to when he came to Rio Rancho before the last election, his tone and messaging was almost perfect. And Hispanic voters nationwide began to shift. Axios had a pretty good article a week or so ago about that. And the Hispanic vote began to shift. They liked the Republican economic message. They liked securing the border. They even were comfortable with the wall because in many places in New Mexico, when I was serving, the border was literally a barbed wire fence, and the barbed wire fence was laying down on the ground. So there's nothing out there to stop anybody. And so people understood that they got to have a secure border in order to have orderly processing. And so back in 2006, I think it was, every Republican on the southern border lost the race that year except me. And people were asking, how are you winning that? And I said, I'm just careful with my message. I talk about securing war. I say the same things you all do, but I put it in a different phraseology.
That was our chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce, talking with a reporter from the Wall Street Journal. If you are interested in finding out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, check out the website at www.gopnm.org. Party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. If you'd like to talk to somebody, call Party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.